You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
First up is me.
Kind of nice getting like your little voice in a sting and then we're straight in.
The UN Special Rapporteur for Housing Rights, Leilani Faha, has been in New Zealand, invited by the government to review our housing situation. Yesterday, she presented her report and she said New Zealand has a, quote, human rights crisis of significant proportions, end quote. BFM reporter Ryan McKee was at the announcement in Wellington and has provided us with these key points and some audio, which you'll hear shortly. First, a bit of background. Leilani spent 10 days in New Zealand, mostly in Christchurch, Wellington, Auckland and Kaitaia. She discussed the state of housing with housing providers, government, local government mayors, Māori, housing advocates and those directly affected by the housing crisis. She was invited here by the New Zealand government to investigate the housing crisis, which she stated that all government officials she spoke to acknowledged was happening. Leilani expressed surprise at the government's willingness to have her here and to discuss the problem. She was impressed with their openness about the situation. So here is a clip with Faha's main response.
I've been so incredibly impressed and surprised, to be honest, at how open your governments have been to my visit. They did, let's be clear, invite me in to this country to provide a human rights lens and perspective and critique of what's going on here from the perspective of the right to housing. That in and of itself shows some courage. It's been amazing to see a government that, in my opinion, or who, in my opinion, clearly does grasp there's a problem in your lands, and a serious one at that. Nothing less than a housing crisis. And every government official I met, at local level or within central government, was in no state of denial. The identification of a housing crisis here was very clear. And the reason I was impressed by that is I do travel the world and I do meet with governments from around the world. And you'd be surprised, maybe, to learn that though there is a global housing crisis, not so many governments step forward and admit that the crisis is in their lands. And so I think that I took that as a very good sign. I will say,
hello.
However,
hi team, how are you?
Good, how are you, Anna?
That when you view something as a housing crisis, what you tend to do then is you tend to think about a whole bunch of housing policies and programs to address that crisis. But what I experienced here was something slightly different. Let me put it to you this way. When I meet a family living in a car, or when I meet a family of six living in a motel room, with their belongings piled up, without a stove, with a teeny little bathroom, with one main living area, eating area, play area. When I meet people who are afraid that their rent is going to increase such that they won't be able to stay in their place. When I meet Maori who've been dispossessed of their lands and resources, historically and in an ongoing way, who've had a complete disruption from their way of being in this world and on this planet. I know that what's happening here is not actually a housing crisis. It's a human rights crisis. And the reason I know that is because if you think of all of those examples I just gave you, what you'll realize is what people are struggling with here, at its root, at its core, is dignity. Everyone's just clinging to their dignity. And it's dignity that informs human rights. If you think back to 1948 and the Universal Declaration, ask yourself, why did we as a world come together and create this Universal Declaration of Human Rights? What was the point? The point was to recognize human dignity and that human dignity is what binds us all together as the human family. And so what you have happening here is a human rights crisis. And of course, you know, we all know that if you're going to solve a problem in your own life, you have to identify that you have the problem. And from there, you can come up with solutions. So once you identify here that what you have is a human rights crisis, it demands a human rights response. And that's actually the bulk of what you'll find in my mission statement. The value of bringing someone like me to your country is that I have a zoomed out position. I'm sort of quite removed in a way. I have 10 days to figure it all out. And so as a result, I think I'm able to have that bird's eye view that can be really useful. No, I'm not an expert in New Zealand. But yes, I am an expert in the right to housing. And so that's what I've offered you here in these 15 pages. What it would mean in this country to actually address the human rights crisis in a human rights way. The thing that I feel so hopeful about here is that you have a population here who gets this at an incredibly fundamental level and in a visceral way, your Maori. And if you let them lead, you will get to your human rights response to this crisis. I have had such an enriching experience here in the company of Maori, who have helped me to better understand what homelessness actually is. When you're dispossessed from the lands, from your resources, and that disruption of your life that leads to a downward spiral of your dignity being incredibly injured. So what I think is the way forward here is some big structural pieces. I feel like the government understands that the dial needs to be turned. But I still think there's room here. And I think some big structural pieces need to be put in place. And I think it's so close. I think one hand is on it. And we need to get two hands on it. What I noticed here is that there's a lack of a kind of solid foundation for all the incredibly good ideas and good acts and programs and policies that are being talked about and put forward in the public domain. I felt like there wasn't some underlying foundation, and that's what I think needs to be put in place. And that underlying foundation that I suggest is a human rights-based national housing strategy. And that's very different than just a smattering of policies. That's an overarching frame where housing is recognized in legislation as a fundamental human right.
So just to recap some of the core aspects of Faha's recommendations are as follows. That a human rights approach is needed. Leilani summarized the problem by saying that what is happening here is not a housing crisis, but a human rights crisis. And she emphasized the importance of dignity, which many people in this country live without due to the price of housing and the resulting state of their housing. The speculative market, she said the root of the crisis lay in the gutting of social housing and a speculative housing market. Successive governments, what they've done is entrust a fundamental human right in large part to private property owners and real estate investors, and that is, quote, pretty dangerous, she said. Maori must be taken into account. Leilani said she learned a lot from Maori about what homelessness truly means for a person's dignity and well-being, as well as about how necessary adequate housing is on a mental, spiritual, emotional level. She also stated that Māori-led solutions will be the most surefire way to create a human rights-based solution to the housing crisis, saying that the government must be prepared to listen and to place trust in Indigenous people. And she also actually referenced the treaty in that, saying that that was very closely related to a human rights based approach, basically. The long-term solution, she pointed out that our Bill of Rights does not recognise a right to housing, stating that there are some big structural pieces that need to change, but that we are otherwise close to a solution. Human rights-based housing policy is necessary moving forward, quote, that has synergy with the treaty, end quote, and must put people first. Leilani asked us to recognise that the government, even local government, have legal obligations to human rights. When making these big structural changes, it's not an adequate excuse to say that it would be politically unpopular or that it would otherwise take too much effort. She says that the problem requires gutsy innovation, which may be politically unpopular, but we need to start coming up with new ways to solve the housing crisis rather than more of the same. Emergency housing must change, she said. She identified 72 hours at maximum being emergency. She spoke to people who were living in emergency housing in motels, which was costing the government $4,000 a week for each of these families. When that much money is already being spent, there's no excuse to not invest in a better system. She suggested rent freezes, such as what's being looked at in Berlin and New York, and that there are many vacant homes across New Zealand, which she said the government should look into doing something with. So the short-term solutions, she identified two things that must be addressed immediately. Homelessness, we have a right to life, dignity and security, and homelessness is simply unacceptable under human rights law. Second, discrimination. Many people are turned away from housing due to details about them. Beneficiaries, single mothers and people with disabilities have the most glaring problems when it comes to housing, but people are also discriminated against based on race, gender identity and sexuality. So following the presentation, there were a number of questions addressing house prices and capital gains tax in particular. Faha pointed out that the government will have to have a say in these things, but pointed to the rent freezes again occurring in Germany as a way of dealing with rental prices. Now, Ryan, our reporter, managed to get a question in about Ihu Mātou, something that we've given a lot of coverage to, and also given that Faha's involvement in some new UN recommendations for the land there. So here's that question.
Good morning. I just had a question. Last year, you co-authored a report that had a list of recommendations regarding the Ihu Mātou situation. I was just wondering, given your more recent work, how would you recommend that the government could work with Māori to try to find culturally appropriate housing solutions?
Yeah, so it wasn't a report. It was what we call a communication that I issued. So that's where I write a kind of form, not kind of, it's a formal legal letter to a government or another actor where I believe there have been possible violations of rights housing. I did that in conjunction with the Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. I subsequently wrote a report that might interest you on Indigenous peoples and the right to housing, and that's a thematic report. I think I'm pretty clear in that report and in all of my work that the principle of self-determination and free, prior, informed consent meaning and life has to be breathed into those principles. I think things are on track for that, but I'm not sure that the full breath has been put into those concepts yet. Let's be real here. So, we have a colonial government. Here is it's colonial. It's a colonial construct. So, if you want to ensure that Maori are enjoying the right to housing and that deep connection with their land and with the earth and with the universe, well, then you have to. Government has to recognize that they have to cede power, provide resources and support to Maori, and give up a whole lot of control and power.
That was Leilani Faha, the UN Special Rapporteur for Housing, and I'm currently attempting to follow up an interview with her. She has left New Zealand this morning, but I would like to speak, I suppose, a bit more at length about her trip here. And also just wanted to mention that she actually did a film called Push, and it was in the New Zealand Film Festival last year, and it's in her role as a Special Rapporteur for Housing, but looking at a whole range of different places around the world that are facing house price massive increase, basically, and gentrification and that sort of thing. So looking at different communities and how they are responding to it. We'll be back after this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.